Judges chapter number four. Judges chapter number four. I do want to just, I guess it's proper and right. I do want to thank Brother Barlow for the opportunity. I know that it's the will of God that ultimately matters, but I am thankful for the opportunity. And then I'd really like to say this, okay? I saw several young ladies over here playing the piano for specials and stuff, and I just want to commend you on your service for the Lord, okay? I didn't catch who the other young lady was, but Miss Leopard right here, I saw you playing, and I just appreciate that, okay? I appreciate young people that will live for the Lord. Somebody say amen right there. And I want to commend you on that, all right? Let's jump right in. Judges chapter 4, if you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not, say hold up. Amen. All right, let's stand. We'll sing. No, we won't sing. I'm sorry, I'm a song director at our church, so that's a habit to say of mine, all right? We'll read verse number 11 is where we'll start. Judges chapter 4, verse number 11, if you'll stand when you get to your places. And we'll read a few verses just trying to get the context of what's going on in this biblical account. The Bible says in verse number 11, "Now Heber the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent under the plain of Zeminim, and which is by Kedesh. And they showed Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, was gone up from Mount Tabor. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him from Harosheth of the Gentiles under the river of Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, Up, for this is the day which the Lord had delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, 10,000 men after him." The Bible says, "And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and his host with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host unto Harosheth of the Gentiles, and all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left." Now here's where we kind of get in our text, these next few verses. The Bible says, "Howbeit Sisera fled on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera, and said unto him, Turn in, my lord, and turn in to me, fear not. When he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water." What did he ask for? But he says, "For I'm thirsty." And she opened unto him a bottle of milk, and gave him drink, and covered him. He asked for water. What did she give him? Bible says in verse number 20, "Again he said unto her, Stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be when any man doth come and inquire of thee, and say, Is there any man here? Thou shalt say, No. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent, and took a hammer in her hand, and went softly unto him." And notice this next man, this is pretty awesome. Bible says that Jael smote the nail into his temples, and fastened it to the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. So he what? Don't y'all just love that story? Amen. All right, I want to preach on this tonight. Some things that we ought to nail down. Preach on, nail it down. All right, Father in heaven, Lord, again, I come before you humbly, God, knowing that in me and my flesh there's no good thing. And God, you know that I need the Holy Spirit to work through me just to be a vessel. And so I submit myself to you, God. The things that I ought to say, I pray you'd help me to say them. And the things that I shouldn't say, Lord, I pray that you'd refrain them from my heart and my lips. And Lord, I pray, God, that you just get the honor and glory tonight. I pray you touch the hearts of these young people. Lord, I don't know most of them, but God, I know that you know them. And I know that you have a purpose and a plan. And God, you really want to work in their heart. And so, God, I pray you'd have liberty tonight. And God, your Holy Ghost would have free course in our hearts. And you just deal with us. Help us to leave changed. Help us to leave charged and challenged to do something for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I would just kind of like to rephrase or reintroduce the context of the story and you kind of caught the end of it, but the children of Israel come to a place where they're in a battle against a captain named Sisera, and he is captain for a king named Jabin. Jabin is the king of Canaan. And through the course of events, God reveals to Deborah, who is a prophetess, that he is going to deliver Sisera and his army into their hand. And they go down and they begin to get in battle. And God was giving them the victory, okay? And the nation of Israel was winning. And the Bible talks about in verse number 16 how Barak and they're pursuing after the army, but there was the captain whose name was Sisera, and he got away. And he went a different direction according to a map, and he fled to this place where he thought that he would be safe, where he thought that he would be comfortable, to the lady, to the house of Jael and her husband Heber, okay? And through the series of events that happened there, can I just say that Jael, the Bible says, drove the nail and nailed his head down there on the floor, if you will, in the tent, and fastened it to the ground. Now, what's so great about this, number one, is I didn't have to watch Hallmark to get a good story like this. Somebody say amen right there. I read it from the Bible. And listen, can I just say, young people, that there are some things in our life that you and I need to nail down, okay? There are some situational things. There are some moral standards. Hey, listen, can I just say, there are some biblical principles in our life that we ought to nail down tonight. Can I just say this by way of introduction? We ought to go ahead and nail down many things in our life because the enemy has specific methods that he uses on us. The enemy's methods, can I just say, in verse number 20 of our text, Sisera tried to tell Jael what she was supposed to do. Sisera said, hey, Jael, go stand at the door. If anybody comes to the door and says, is somebody here? You're supposed to say no. And can I just say, Satan and his tactics and his methods tries to manipulate or tries to dictate what you and I as young people should do in our life. And his methods often come through ways of music. His method comes through way of media. His methods come through way of men that we hang around or women. And his methods often come through movies. Hey, listen, can I just say, one of the first times you ever see contemporary music in the King James Bible is here it is. The nation of Israel was taken into Babylonian captivity in the book of Daniel, and Nebuchadnezzar tells Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he says, when you hear the sound of the sackbut, the flute, the psaltery, the harp, and all kinds of music, he says, I want you to bow down and worship this false image. I'm talking about that contemporary music. Somebody help me now. I'm talking about that. Bow now, everybody bow. Bow now, bow down the bell. Hey, I'm talking about that. Y'all help me now, okay? And listen, hey, here it was. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar knew that music was a powerful thing to change the emotions and drive the direction of men. Yep. And listen, can I just say in our life and in our day and age, hey, can I say that Satan is using music to influence this generation heavily? Hey, can I say media, whether it's by way of Facebook or out of hell Snapchat. Hey, listen, TikTok. Hey, Satan uses media. One of his methods is media to influence our young people. Hey, can I just say this? Wall Street Journal, which is not a fundamental press of any kind, okay? Wall Street's about as liberal as a smoking dog who voted for Biden. Somebody say amen, okay? Hey, listen, and here's what Wall Street Journal said. Wall Street Journal said 90% of all sex trafficking is directly tied to TikTok. What about that? They went on to say that almost all, if not all, they use the number 90% as well, but all TikTok videos by nature have a pornographic pull to them. Help us now. Young people, you've been exposed, you've been introduced to things by media that no young person has the right to see. And listen, can I just say, I'm talking about we ought to nail some things down because of Satan's methods. How many of y'all ever heard of Lil Nas? Y'all be honest, okay? How many of y'all heard of Lil Nas? How many of you have never heard of Lil Nas? Amen. Y'all ain't never heard of Lil Nas? Well, good. So I had to stop my young people from singing it on the way over here. No, I'm joking, okay? Hey, for those of you who don't know, and I don't want to be explicit, I know we've got different age groups in here, but Lil Nas is a current day rapper. And in one of his more recent music videos, he slides down a pole into hell and he gives Satan a lap dance. Yeah, God help us. When he was asked about it, he said, I want to promote Satanism and homosexuality. And that's on some of your Pandora list. That's on some of your Spotify, Hoss. Hey, I'm talking about out of hell, Lil Nas. And I don't like Kenny Chesney or Taylor Swift or any of them either. It's just I want to make it real clear, okay? I'm against rock music. And I'm against rap music, and I'm against country music, okay? And here's the truth. The Bible says, what concord hath Christ with Belial? Ma'am, you cannot have Christian rock or Christian rap. Hey, listen, it just don't work that way. Somebody say amen right there. And so what I'm talking about is we ought to nail some things down because of Satan's methods, whether it's music, whether it's media, whether it's men. Hey, can I just say, I feel like from the Hollywood trends that come around, they want to make us feel inferior because we don't dress like them, because we don't act like them, because we don't talk like them. And listen, can I just say, I'm perfectly fine not being like Hollywood. So we have the enemy's methods, but we also have the enemy's manipulation. Satan will cause you to question the principles of the Word of God. And listen, can I just ask you something, person? If you ever have a question for life, find out what the Word of God says about it. Hey, listen, can I say, ever since the beginning of time, Satan has tried to cause a questioning of the Word of God. From the very beginning, Satan caused Eve, if you will, to question the Word of God. He tried to get her to understand or to believe that that's not what really God said, okay? Hey, listen, can I say, not only will Satan try to get you to question the Word of God, but he'll try to get you to question the will of God. Over in 1 Samuel chapter number 15, Saul was given a direct order to kill all the Amalekites, and Saul did not kill all the Amalekites. If you're with me, say, oh yeah. All right. And so here's what happened. Samuel went to Saul and he said, why didn't you do this thing? And Saul's motive is what he said was, I was trying to save the best to sacrifice to the Lord. And Samuel said, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And then here's what he said. He said, for rebellion is as witchcraft and iniquity. I'm sorry, for rebellion is as witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry. So for the rebellious person, you ought to just put a mole on your nose, use that eyeliner my sister had back here, and draw a little mole on your nose, go get a broom from the kitchen, and leave because you're practicing witchcraft. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. And the young person that wants to live wicked, contrary to the truth that they ought to know that they should do, just like Samuel told Saul, you knew what to do. Hey, he says that stubbornness is as idolatry. I hate when a young person gets so stubborn. And you try to tell them or teach them something and love young people, and you just kind of want to bow up. So we ought to nail some things down tonight. The Bible says in James chapter 1:6 that we ought to ask God things in faith. He says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Can I just say, young people, so many young people are just going with the flow, whichever direction it may be, because we don't have some things nailed down. There may be young people in here who think that sodomy is okay because mainstream media says sodomy is okay. It's still wicked in the Bible. Okay? So I want to give us several things tonight on what we ought to nail down. Now remember, I told you I'm not trying to hurt anybody, okay? All right? I just want to make sure we're clear on that. Number one, you ought to nail down who your enemy is. Again, verse 21, the Bible says that Jael took that nail and drove it through Sisera's head. Now, I will say this, in verse number 11 and verse number 12, the Bible teaches us that it was Heber's household that went to Sisera and to the nation of Canaan, if you will, and told them what was going on. And then in verse number 17, the Bible says that Sisera thought that there was peace between their house and their kingdom. But at some point in Jael's life and in Jael's mind, she realized that's the enemy. And that's the person that's against us. Hey, listen, can I just tell you something, young people? Maybe you've not always been on the right side. And maybe right now you dabble in some things that you know you ought not dabble with. Hey, but the Bible does say in Ephesians 6, verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Hey, look up in here. I'm talking about we're in a spiritual battle tonight. And the enemy, the Bible says, is not flesh and blood. It ain't your parents, Hoss. Hey, listen, can I just say, it's not your pastor. And it's not the people down the pew from you. Our battle is not a flesh and blood battle. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Hey, listen, can I just say, the enemy tonight is Satan himself and all the demons and imps of hell. And the Bible says that we ought to be vigilant and we ought to be sober because he's walking about. That means he's patient. Hey, listen, he's waiting for you to slip up. He's waiting for your weak moments. Hey, listen, he's just walking about and he's seeking, the Bible says. Not only is Satan patient, but listen, ma'am, he's in pursuit of somebody.
That's right.
He's seeking somebody. He ain't casual about his work. Hey, can I say, I don't know who my real dad is. My real dad left before I was ever born. And Satan is a destroyer of homes. And he's a destroyer of lives. I've got a young person in my youth department tonight. His daddy was shot in a gang in Detroit, Michigan, a drug gang. His mama's been in prison for over 20 years. Hey, I'm talking about Satan's the enemy tonight. And he's destroying homes. And the Bible says that he's walking about. And he's seeking, okay? He's patient, and he's in pursuit of somebody. But then the Bible says that he's trying to devour somebody.
Right.
He's trying to pig out in your life.
Yes, sir.
Hey, that's our enemy tonight. Amen. Ma'am, if you got a problem with your youth pastor, with your pastor, then you're at the wrong enemy. Amen. Sir, if you've got a problem with your parents because they say, hey, listen, you can't go here, you can't do that. Hey, listen, I wouldn't let my daughter go to a prom. Somebody help me now. Hey, I'm just saying, if your parents are trying to protect you, you ought to be thankful for that.
Amen.
My young person ain't going to no party, unsupervised, no party. Ain't getting in the truck with a guy who looked like he slammed his face in a tackle box. Okay? Our enemy is Satan. And listen, can I just say, JL... nail down her enemy. Number two, we ought to nail down our enlistment. Our enlistment. Can I just say again, she got on the right side. There's a man named Samuel in the Bible. I've already referred to him. But as a young man, he was growing up, and the preacher's kids, Hophni and Phinehas, or Phineas, if you want to say it properly. I like the word Hoss, though. Is everybody all right? Okay. So his name is Phinehas. All right. And, but Hophni and old Big P, they were wicked. The Bible says that they caused people to abhor the offering of the Lord. But the Bible says Samuel still served the Lord. So can I just say, you can do right regardless of what everybody else is doing. And Jael's enlistment, man, she got involved. And she got entangled in the battle, if you will. Here's what the issue was. When Sisera showed up, nobody else was around. And listen, can I just tell you, young person, mark it down. Satan will show up in your life when there's nobody else around. And you feel like there's no accountability, there's nobody who you think would know. But God does, and you'll not escape the judgment of God. And listen, can I just say, in her enlistment, when she saw that nobody else was around to do anything, she said, I'll take care of this problem. Because, you know, Heber, her husband, he was probably gone at work. Somebody say amen right there. Because, sir, men don't just play video games, they work. Okay. Ma'am, if you meet a guy and he ain't got a job, well, then he ain't a dude, okay? All right. So her enlistment was, there's nobody else around. And so she said, you know what? I've got to take care of this. She had to step up and take care of the issue. Hey, can I just say Joshua 24:15, one of the most popular verses in America. Joshua, about the age of 110 years old, told the nation of Israel, he said, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He was 110 years old when he said that. But can I just say, he was still making that same decision when he was 20 years old, and there were 12 spies that went to Canaan, and 10 were bad and 2 were good. And he was one of them that was good. He was living right. And can I just say, young people, you can live right. You can get involved in this thing. You can pick up trash. You can lead a team prayer meeting. You can stop young people from acting wicked around you. Can I just say, she simply said, I'll take care of the issue. Hey, listen, here's what I do like. Who's the goofiest guy around here? No, give me somebody not from my church. I know Sam's pretty goofy. Is it you, Hall?
Kelly,
who's Kelly?
This kid right here.
Kelly's the goofiest?
Yes.
Come here, big Kelly. So, here's what Sisera did. Is this somebody's Bible right here? Somebody not using it? It's Josh. All right, Kelly, right? Kelly, will you lay on that for me? That's right. No, Red J, is it okay if I set this right here?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay. That's right. I want you to lay on that. Your name is Sisera. What's his name?
Sisera.
All right, so JL gets old Sisera. Just kind of turn over on your side and don't put your hands up. I don't want you to show your nakedness to these girls, okay? And number one was nail down your enemy. What was number one? Number two was nail down your enlistment. Get involved. What was number two? All right. This one doesn't technically start with an E, but for tonight you can make it an E, okay? Number three is her ingenuity. All right. So here it is. She brings Sisera into the tent and covers him with the mantle. Tony, let me see your suit coat. It's probably mantle-like. Hurry. Hurry, son. Woo! And so she covers him. I hope it doesn't stink, Kelly. I'm sorry. All right, now listen. I do believe that at this point, she already knew what she was going to do. She said, I'm taking care of this dude. Now, here's the truth. He asked for water, and what did she give him?
Milk.
Do you know what we give babies when we want them to go sleep?
Milk.
Do you know that milk has a natural chemical in it called tryptophan? And tryptophan makes you sleepy. Everybody ought to go home and drink a glass of milk tonight. Somebody say amen. Okay? With a couple Oreos on the side, praise God. But she gave him milk, and the Bible says that he was fast asleep. Now, here is the truth. In order to do the job and to get it done, don't y'all think it would have been easier with a sword? A shotgun? Or even like a bow and arrow, right? But homegirl, the Bible says, had a tent spike. Oh, Kelly, you're asleep, son. And turn that head over. And the Bible says that she had a hammer. Now, any woman that can swing a hammer real good, I'm impressed, praise God. Say amen right there. Most of y'all ladies, y'all got that little suit, that little pack that's sent under a seat, and it's got a pink hammer about this big, you know. I mean, you couldn't nail in a thumbtack with that thing. And so the Bible says she went unto him softly. He's laid out on the ground, covered in a mantle. And she went unto him softly, and she bent over in her long dress. Somebody help me right there. Okay. I said she bent over in her long dress. Okay. And the Bible says it went through his temples. Right? That's what the Word of God said, right? And she put that thing right there. And then all of a sudden he goes, wham! So here we go. Man, you can tell this is a youth conference, praise God. All right, so here it is, young people. She may have not had everything just so perfect, but what she did have, she used. Here's what I want to apply to in my life, in your life. You may say, my home's not the greatest. My parents don't come to church. Maybe you're in a broken home like I was. Maybe you've had some ups and downs in your personal life. Maybe you've given away some of your heart and some of your virtue to another guy or to another girl. But can I just say, young people, if you will give your life to God and say, God, I'm not much. I've made mistakes. My baggage is heavy, and I don't have a great background. But God can take your life, whether it be a hammer and a nail, whether you would say it'd be a sword, whether you'd say it'd be a bow. Hey, God can take your life and use it to bring victory. Hey, listen, your tools that God has given you are your home and your parents and your church. And with a home and parents and a church that God has given you, regardless of that situation, you can be successful in life if you'll give your life to God and live by the principles of His Word. Can I just say, man, we don't need young people that say, well, I didn't grow up in this preacher's home, so I can't be a preacher. Or I didn't grow up with parents in the choir, so I can't sing in the choir. Hey, listen, what we just need are some young people that say, you know what? God's got a plan for my life, and God's got a purpose, and I'm going to try to live my life on fire for God. When the singing's right and the preaching's hot, I'll say amen, and I'll say hallelujah, and I'll lift up my hands. Hey, listen, we need young people who will not quit when times get tough. Hey, can I just say, God can use what you have as you get involved, and He can make you victorious in your life. Amen. So you nail down your enemy. You nail down your enlistment. You nail down your ingenuity. Can I say this, number four? You nail down that you're going to continue to put forth effort in life. In verse number 18, when she was meeting Jael, the Bible says she went out to meet him. As that, what we would call that is initiative. What would we call that? Initiative. Somebody doesn't always have to tell you what you should do. You ought to take initiative, young person, and just get involved. You see areas that lack. You see things that could be better. You see where things fall short. Take initiative and make it better. Don't wait till your mama tells you five times to take out the trash to finally take out the trash. Parents, y'all help me out in here now, praise God. Hey, listen, can I just say, man, young person, you ought to get more involved and put forth more effort. What's happening in our generation, in your generation, is young men are being raised so soft that you won't work, and oftentimes you're not willing. And can I just say, because of current trends, you're becoming womanly and effeminate and wearing skinny breeches, God help us. I mean, I wouldn't wear skinny breeches because I'm fat, but hey, a skinny person ought not wear skinny breeches. Looks effeminate. Looks sodomite-ish. Talking about, hey, I said skinny breeches. I'm talking about Daisy Dukes on boys. They're wrong on girls too, by the way. Bible says, make bare thy leg, uncover thy thigh, and thy nakedness shall be revealed. The Bible does say the thigh's nakedness. Hey, can I just say, we ought to put forth some effort. Young ladies, you ought not be weak. You ought not be wasteful. Hey, listen, you ought to take the opportunity God's given you, and you ought not be wavering. Amen. We're living in, I know, ladies, I know that there's some psychological statements that say ladies that grow up without a dad in their home oftentimes go from relationship to relationship and guy to guy to guy. And listen, can I just say, it's everywhere. And I might be alone right here, right now, but I'm just going to say it because it's where I stand. I'm against teen dating. Amen. And listen, can I just say, it causes unnecessary emotional stress that you're not ready for. Sir, you can't even do laundry or brush your teeth without your mama telling you. And you can't even hold a job, and you think you're ready to get married? Ma'am, tell me the last time you cooked supper for your family. Tell me when you do your lawn. Hey, I'm just talking about the women in this day and age. They're weak and they can't control their emotions. And one minute, they're all over here. They're having a groupie and they're like, he dumped me again. And you've been going out with the guy five different times. Hey, listen. We got to put forth more effort than that. You say, man, well, why won't God help me? I don't know. Why do you keep going back to the same bozo who can't do anything with his life? Help us now. Hey, I'm talking about her effort. Her effort was very initiative-like. She went out to meet him. Hey, can I just say we ought to simply just put forth the effort to do right? Because doing right is always right. And living wicked is always wrong. Did I tell y'all I'm against skinny britches on guys? I just want to make sure we got that covered, Hoss. Okay. Number five. Bible says at the end of verse number 21, so he what? Y'all still caught up on the skinny britches. Y'all get to verse 21. Verse 21, last three words of the verse. The Bible says, so he what? God. Here's number five. Your eternity. If you don't get anything else I said tonight, young person, can I just ask you this? Where would you go if you were to die on the way home tonight? Because just as real as heaven is, hell is real too. And can I say, everybody's born lost without Christ. We inherit our sinful nature from our Father. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Everyone is born a sinner. And can I say, because of our sin, the Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Can I say, the wages or the price of our sin is a physical death, not only that, but a spiritual death in hell. Amen. And without Christ, young person, each and every one of us ought to die and go to hell. But the Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can I just say, Christ paid the price for our sin when he gave his life on the cross, just as Jael drove the nail into Sisera's temple. Christ took the nails in his hands and in his feet, and the Bible says he was whipped and he was scourged, and his visage, his complexion, his face was so marred you couldn't even tell who he was. And can I just say, he endured all that chastisement for you and I so that we didn't have to die and go to hell. He said, hey, listen, without me you'll go to hell, but with my blood there is eternity and there is salvation. And so here's what the remedy is tonight. If you don't have your eternity nailed down, can I just say, you could come to an altar tonight and say, Christ, I know I'm a sinner and I know I ought to die and go to hell, but you can ask Christ to forgive you and ask Christ to save you. The Bible says in Romans 10 verse number 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's a direct promise from God Almighty, a shout promise, not a hope so, not a might be, but God promised an eternity for those who would confess his name and call upon him for salvation. And can I just say, there might be a young person in here tonight, I don't know where you're from, but when I'm talking about this right now, in your heart you know, hey, I don't know what it is to be saved, and I don't have a personal relationship with Christ, and if I were to die tonight, I'm on my way to hell. Can I say, you can change your course of life tonight. You can nail down your eternity. And here's the last thing by way of conclusion. Let's look at verse number 24. The Bible says this, and the hand of the children of Israel, what's that next word? And what's that next word? Prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, the king of Canaan. Here's the last one by way of conclusion. Number 6 was their ending. Their ending. Look at how it all ended up. The battle was hot. The battle was heavy, I'm sure. It wore them out. But at the end, the Bible says that they prospered and they prevailed. Right. I love winning.
Amen.
Somebody say amen. Man, I still love basketball, but you ask my young people, I can't play like I used to. About every couple months, I got to go get a shot in my left knee because it'll swell up like a little cantaloupe. And they'll have to draw out about 60-something cc's of fluid, and I get that cortisone in there, a.k.a. WD-40. Somebody say amen right there. And I just can't, but I love to win. So if I'm picking a team, I'll probably pick all the good people and put all the bad people on another team. Somebody say amen. And we were at I coach our basketball team, me and our pastor do, and We were at a game against the Atmore Rams. Has anybody ever heard of this Christian school, the Atmore Rams? There's somebody in here from Bruton, right? Bruton. Have you heard of them, sister? Okay. And so our school was playing them. I don't know them at all, so I'm not. But the basketball game was heated. Oh, man. I'm talking about, man, the refs were just letting the play happen. And I wouldn't say the refs were one-sided, but, man, it was just old school. Down low, rough basketball. Kids going out acting like they got concussions. I don't know if they were being sissies or if they were just hurt, you know. But, y'all, we were down 2 points with like 3 seconds left. And it was getting intense, man. We throw the ball in from our side of the court to our best shooter. His name was Benai James. Benai comes up to half court. 3, 2, 1. And I'm talking about launches it from half court. Y'all, the shot banks off the backboard, goes in, and our fans and me went wild. I have never in my life ran up and be like, woo, because we won a game. I just don't do that kind of stuff, okay? And maybe if it was Alabama against Michigan, somebody help me now. And say amen right there, Tony. But it was, man, and everybody was just going crazy. Our teen girls were yelling. Man, all the parents were yelling. Everybody was fired up. And it was just like, yeah, we won, you know? And I loved the victory. But can I just say, I did not really like the battle. As the coach over there, this was before my dad was a coach. He was, you know, he was just pastoring because he knew the blood pressure problem. So I think, Brother Matt, you were with me. And man, as the coach, you know, I'm over here like, blah, 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 you know, and I'm probably yelling at the ref what I shouldn't have been doing. Somebody say amen right there. And y'all, the battle was terrible, but the victory was wonderful. You know what I didn't like, young person? I didn't like when I was 16 years old and I was on probation for the things that I've already mentioned before. And I really didn't like when my mom, when we lived in Texas, my mom shipped me on a plane to Alabama. That's how I got here. And my mom's weeping and she says, Daniel, I've done everything I could. I spent everything that I've had. I got us kicked out of our apartments for drugs at our apartment. And man, when I came to Alabama, man, the battles were kind of rough. I didn't live with my mom, never knew my dad. Y'all, I didn't know anything about fundamentalism. I was working a summer job wearing my AAU basketball shorts and a wife beater shirt and flip-flops. Oh, I was working for her husband. She'll testify. I didn't know rules and I didn't know biblical principles. And I just, man, but God did something. And oh boy, I love him. And he developed a love in my heart. And I began to listen and I began to learn. And I began to be led by the Spirit of God. And I moved in with my pastor. And then y'all guess what? About 4 years later, cuz, I got married. That's it, yeah. And man, I made a lot of mistakes as a young person. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. At the age of 16, when I was in the steps of getting right, I had made a lot of immoral decisions. But I said at the age of 16, I said, I'll never touch another girl until I marry my wife. And can I tell you, even through my wife and I's courtship, I never held her hand. I never tried to slip her a kiss. Because the Bible does say in 2 Corinthians 7:1, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. So, ma'ams, if he's trying to slip behind the scenes and get something, he ain't the one. But that day, 20 years old, she came up this aisle. Not this one, but a aisle, praise God. And I'm standing up there, y'all, my heart's just racing, boy. And her daddy came down, and the preacher said, who giveth this woman to be married to this man? And he said, her mother and I do. And that was the first time I took her hand. And then I don't even remember the rest of the ceremony, but I do remember that one part, you know, where he says, you may kiss the bride. And y'all, I took that young lady and I dipped her like a chicken nugget in barbecue sauce. Somebody say amen out there. And I laid it on her, son. Yes. Now, here's the truth, young people. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. That was a wonderful ending to that stage of my life. But can I just tell you, young person, the only reason why I got to enjoy that at 20 years old was because I started nailing some things down when I was 16. Amen. And man, I honest to God, I don't know what you've dabbled in, what you struggle with, or where your heart's at. But I do know this, God has a plan for you, and you can have an awesome ending should you start nailing some things down tonight. Let's have everybody stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. The pianist is going to come. Young people, I want to ask you a couple questions. And I want you to listen. I want you to answer honestly, please. How many would say, Brother Daniel, I know in my life there's some areas that are unbiblical, whether it's music, whether it's relationships, that I need to get nailed back down. If that's you tonight, would you raise your hand? If you say, Brother Dean, I need to nail down some things in my life. All right. Is there a young person in here tonight that would say, I don't have my eternity nailed down? If I were lost, if I were to die tonight, I'd go to hell. Is there any young person like that tonight that doesn't know that they're saved? You can be honest. Nobody's looking but me. And I'm not going to call you out. I just want to pray for you. Unto God, I wouldn't want you to go home lost tonight. All right, young people, we're going to have a word of prayer. And then it's your time to come do business with God and to nail down those things in your life, whether it be your enemy, whether it be just getting involved and putting forth effort, getting enlisted in that. It's your opportunity to come and say, God, I want to have a good ending by nailing some things down tonight. Father in heaven, we do love you. I thank you for these group of young people, and God, I do pray that the truths from the Word of God tonight would penetrate our hearts and you'd help us just to hear from you. God, help us to get some things nailed down tonight and not slip, not waver, but God, just to be fastened down, unchanging. Lord, thank you for it. Pray you have your will in the invitation tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Young people, you come. You come.
How you could sit through a service like that and not be convicted. I mean, I'm a pastor and I sat convicted. And we'll tell you, if conviction didn't happen tonight, there's something wrong. Folks, listen, the devil's real, hell is hot,
oh, yes.
And he's after you.
Oh,
parents,
yes.
Listen, hey, you should be down here praying for your babies.
Oh, yes.
Because that devil's after them. Daddies, you should be down here praying for your homes. Mamas, listen, how important are your homes to you? You want your children to do right. Listen, everything rises and falls on leadership. I wonder how your home is tonight. We're going to sing I Surrender All. This altar is open, it's full, but listen, there's room for more. Let's sing hymn number 558, I Surrender All to Jesus I Surrender. All to Him I freely give. Let's sing it out. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. Live. Sing it out, church. Listen to what you're singing tonight. You know you're singing, I surrender all. But I surrender all except for what? For years I sat and I would sing this song and there was always something in my heart that I was not willing to surrender to God. What can I say? Tonight that sin that does so easily beset you will be the reason that you fall. Listen to what you're singing. Let's sing verse number 4. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee.
Amen.
All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Listen to this now. Fill me with Thy love and power, let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all, and I surrender all, and all to singing tonight. How many is glad you chose to come to church on a Friday night? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, if you've had a blessing and you've been blessed tonight, say amen.
Amen.
Listen, we're going to do something that I wouldn't normally do. I want to get a couple of our guys up here. Brother Kevin, can you come up? And Brother Walter, can you come up? We're going to pass this off and play it around. Listen, this preacher's been a blessing to us. He did not ask for this. I'm obeying the Lord. What I want you to do is give unto the Lord. As the Lord has given unto you, everything you put into play tonight will go directly to Brother Daniel. Thank you for coming, Brother Daniel. I really appreciate you bringing your church over, brother. Listen, a couple things while they're giving. On your way out of here tonight, please look behind you under your seats. Grab your paper. You can throw those papers in the trash can. The pins, if you'll just put all the pins that you had on one end of the pew, we'll go through and pick those up. Please throw your trash away in the bathrooms or in the fellowship hall. There's still some snacks and stuff over there if you would like to get something before you leave. Let's pray before we're